أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على حبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله by the infinite grace mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we are gathered here in his sacred and noble home to seek his guidance to seek his closeness his forgiveness and his mercy May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions and efforts, especially during the beautiful days and nights of Ramadan, and make it a means for our purification, for our success and salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Ameen. So far on our sacred and noble journey of Salah, we have understood its various virtues and the beauties of Salah, as mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is there for us as an encouragement to realize that this is for our benefit in the dunya and also in the hereafter. We also looked at our intentions and how the intention is the foundation and the backbone of salah and how to make our intentions more beneficial for us by multiplying our niyat and making our intentions more powerful for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we need to approach our salah with a present heart, not just in a mechanical form, but make sure that our mind and our soul and our heart is present and we are addressing and connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a meaningful manner. And then we discussed how wudu is the key to salah. And if your wudu is incomplete or deficient or lacking, then your salah will automatically be void and rejected and nullified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wudu is the key to the salah, and the salah is then a key to Jannah. So having these two keys are very, very important, because wudu is that physical, that spiritual purification and preparation which enables you to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner. And yesterday we discussed how we as human beings, we need to express our feelings and our emotions to our Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal. And we gave the simple example of those friends that you have or people that you are very near to and dear to in your life, how eager you are to meet them and sit with them and spend time with them, and then how sad you are when they part. This is the same feeling, if not more, we should have when we are eager to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah, to have a meeting with Him, discussion with Him, share our feelings, share our happiness and sorrow with Him. And we should be sad when our salah finishes because we are no longer communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And then we should be eager again for the next particular salah. So having feelings and emotions as a male especially is very, very important. And to share those feelings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We discussed yesterday on having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His mercy will overcome His wrath. And having hope doesn't just mean that you just think of it in your heart and your mind, but hope means it has to be coupled with actions. That you have hope and then you follow it by righteous and good actions that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just have amani, which we discussed yesterday. Amani is just wishes, that I wish Allah forgives me. No, if you wish for something, you need to follow it with action. So this is why we have raja in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is far greater, the hope, which is always coupled with action rather than just empty wishes in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. So inshallah al-aziz, today we continue on our journey and we come to the next aspect of salah, which was first we did intentions and then obviously we did the wudu element and the purification of the heart, and now we're coming on to the body element as well, making sure that our body is in the correct manner and form and we are presentable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the body has an inner aspect and as well as it has an outer aspect. So the heart and the soul is the inner, and the body externally, our limbs and the way that we present ourselves is our outer. And all of this, inshallah, that we'll talk today about the body is relating to haya. And you might think that haya, which we talk about, is just relating to other forms of our behavior and our conduct and how we speak and how we behave. But haya is an integral part in communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Because if we do not have haya in standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the opposite becomes that we become bihaya, without people without haya. So having modesty in the way that you approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the correct decorum, the correct dignity and respect, and the correct amount of shyness and shame, and also a little bit of hesitation in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is important. You might become an adult, you might be 18, 20, 30 years old, but even then, you still need to have a certain amount of sharam haya when you speak to your parents, when you speak to your elders, when you speak to your teachers, no matter how old you are, no matter who you become, whether you are a great sheikh or a scholar or an academic or the greatest businessman, whoever you may be, as an individual, those who are above you, you always show them a certain amount of dignity, respect and haya in the way that you present yourself, in the way that you behave in front of them. And this is far more important and superior, necessary for us to have the same, if not greater level of haya when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always think twice about standing before great dignitaries and great people who are VIP or celebrities, etc. But this is nothing in comparison to how we should stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who have been on Hajj, for those people who have been on Umrah, you can ask them how their haya is when they are standing in front of the jali of the Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and how they feel and what their kayfiyah is when they're standing before Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before all of these great places. Automatically the heart is humbled and the soul is humbled, and this should also be expressed in our body, in our outer appearance as well. So inshallah, today we will discuss haya and how it is very intimately connected with our worship. And only will you taste the sweetness of salah, of your ibadah, when you have the correct amount of haya in your ibadah when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in this regard reminds us that inna al-haya min al-iman, that haya is part and parcel of iman. It's not something which is separate. Do you know sometimes people say, oh, this is cultural, this is social, this is economic, this is, you know, all of these things. We compartmentalize things in our life. But no, the Prophet ﷺ said, no, haya, the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you present yourself, behave, the way you think, all of these things that is part and parcel of your iman. So if you think about your iman and how you believe in Allah, how you conduct yourself, then haya is an integral part of that. And he also goes on to say in another hadith that إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِرْكَ, that if a person has no haya in his life, the person doesn't have, as we say in our language as well, kuch sharam haya kar. We say that in our language to our youngsters or even to other people as well, when we know that they are, you know, trespassing or transgressing the boundaries that they shouldn't be doing. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, that if a person does not have haya in the way that he conducts himself, then he will do whatever he wants. And we can see this in our society, that those people who have no sharam, who have no haya, you can see that they, how their kapre is, how their clothing is, how their attire is, how their appearance is. You can see how they conduct themselves, how they speak in a very vulgar manner, profane manner, and they don't care, bade, chote, somebody's older than you, younger than you, they just say whatever they want to say without any filter whatsoever. So haya, having that haya is very, very important. If you don't have that filter within your heart and your soul and your mind, and especially on your tongue and your appearance, then you will say and you will do whatever you want. But this is not who we are. Muslims are part and parcel of those people who follow the best example, which is the example of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And we know that haya is very, very important. So when we do not have modesty, we will end up doing whatever we want and behave however we want. But when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our body, the way we present ourselves, and also what we feel on the inside, needs to be full with haya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So modesty and faith are interconnected. And the Prophet ﷺ in another hadith mentions that undoubtedly every single religion has a khuluq, has a particular characteristic that is defined by that particular religion. And the khuluq of Islam is haya, is modesty. So, you know, this is a very important part that we tend to overlook, that how can we have haya standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He knows everything, He sees everything, He hears everything. Yes, without a doubt. And to the similar degree, your parents know everything about you very intimately, even though you might think you can pull the wool over there or over their eyes and do so many things. Your teachers and your parents know you very well. Your siblings know you very well. But we just try to obviously delude ourselves that they don't know, and then we behave in a particular way. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us more better than ourselves, more better than our own beating heart. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean that we drop the amount of sharam and haya and modesty that we should show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are standing before Allah azza wa jalla. So think about how you present yourself and how you approach your salah physically, with your mind, also with your body. What kind of attitude do you come in terms of your door, as they say? How do you walk to the masjid? What is your walk like coming to the musalla? And what is your kind of behavior when you're standing shoulder to shoulder and you pull your shoulder away from that person, or you know, you push the other people aside, or you know, you forcefully come to the front? All of these things are part and parcel of that haya element for others around you, for the masjid, and also for the sanctity of Allah when you are about to pray your salah. How is your haya when you're standing? Are you constantly itching and going through your beard or scratching other things unnecessarily, or you're thinking about other things? All of these are part and parcel of haya. So our appearance and our body language, which includes our speech, includes our eyes, includes our hands, includes our words and our private parts, all of this is encompassed within haya. And you need to really think about all of these things when you are in the salah, before the salah, during the salah, and post salah. All of these things. Where is your body? What is your body doing? What is your mind doing? What is your hands and your eyes, all of these doing? Is it befitting that we do all of these things in salah? Burping, yawning, scratching, and all of these other things, and how we read our surah, Suratul Fatiha, how we read our other surahs, how we do our tasbih. Are we just going through it, blazing through it, trying to get through it as quick as possible? Is it the haya that we should have when we speak into other people? We see, speak, قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا قُولُوا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ. We speak softly, we speak kindly, we speak gently with our elders, with those people that we love and respect. Why is it not the same when we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are you rushing through your Fatiha? Why are you rushing through your surah and your ruku and your sujood and all of these things? This is part of haya, because if you had haya, you'd stand up in the correct way, you do ruku in the correct way, you do sajda in the correct way, and you take your time. Do you know, when somebody is there, somebody like my sheikh when he came here, or my other teachers when they come, the way that you conduct yourself in terms of you lower your head a little bit, you bow down slightly out of respect and you know, adab for them, and then you listen to them very, very attentively, and you wait until it's your turn to speak, and you don't scream or shout or speak at such a fast manner that the person's thinking, calm down, take it easy. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not deserve far greater amount of haya in our conduct when we are speaking? Because that's essentially what you are doing in your salah. You're communicating, you're speaking directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask yourselves about all of these things in your body language, in your speech, in your eyes, in your movements, in your actions, and in your appearance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is described as a person who had more haya than a virgin girl who was unmarried. This is how much haya he had. And you could see him, you know, blush, and his cheeks would go pink or red, you know, when, you know, you could see that haya on his face. In this day and age, we see children, we see our own children, you know, and the way that they say things with their mouth and the way that they behave, and you just look at them and you're completely gobsmacked. You're lost for words, like, did he really say that? Did she really just say that to me or to the elders or to that particular person? And you're just completely flabbergasted, as they say. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would be asked any particular question, that his haya was such that you could see it on his face. It was a physical, you know, characteristic on his face, and he'd have more haya than a virgin girl who was unmarried, subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is our beacon. This is who we follow. This is how we should present ourselves and conduct ourselves. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam reminds us that modesty only brings goodness, that haya only brings khair and goodness in a person's life. And we really need to imbibe this within our hearts and really show this to other people. That doesn't mean that, you know, people will think, oh, this person can't stand up for himself, or he can't express himself. No. Haya is a very, very important part in how we express ourselves. So Haya is the grain of our society, of our personal life, our social life, our moral life, our values and our behavior. Every certain person, even in this society, you know, yes, you know, society has moved a long way. Here in the UK, people can pretty much wear whatever they want and behave whatever they want. But even then, they have a little bit of haya left on the TV and the media in society. They call something indecent exposure, you know, that they don't expect or allow certain people to expose themselves in society, and the police will come and they say, look, cover yourself, what are you doing? And you can't do these kind of sexual activities or behave in a particular way. Even they have some remnants of it left in terms of haya in their society, but our religion, our culture, our tradition is full of haya from our, towards our youngsters, towards our elders, towards all of society, towards even the wildlife and the environment and where we live. We have this haya and modesty and respect for all of our society. So if we have some form of social haya and modesty for each other and for our neighbors and for our society, then why is it that we do not have a spiritual haya? A spiritual haya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for our deen, for the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah Rabbul Izzah reminds us, كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. And also for the mu'minat as well, that tell the believing men to lower their gaze, and they tell them to be modest. So modesty is not just about covering yourself, it's also about protecting your eyes, protecting your speech, the way that you conduct yourself. And this is far purer for you to lower your gaze and also to behave and act in a particular manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of all of the things that we do. We always think that we can get a second glance, or we can continue with a second glance, or the third and a fourth. Who knows what we are scrolling through on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all of these things. All of these then still require us to behave in a particular way and have some haya for looking at other women and other sisters and other daughters and other people. How is it that with those eyes where you had no haya, watching these things, looking at these things, saying these things, behaving in a particular way, and then you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Allah, main bada muttaqi, bada pareza, I'm very humble before you, and here I am, I'm full of modesty. It's not possible. It's the complete opposite, it's a dichotomy where you have no sharam and haya in society, but then you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your head bowed and say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and you're trying to show that you have haya? No, it has to come part and parcel. Your outer, your social has to be same as your inner and your spiritual as well. So this is very, very important. So haya is a very, very loaded word in the Arabic language. And to be honest, there's no actual true word that encompasses it in English to describe it. So it actually carries the meaning of being conscientious in all of your dealings and how you carry yourself. And my teacher would always say to me that make sure you carry yourself in the best way. That doesn't basically mean, you know, physically carry yourself, but how you conduct yourself, the way that you look, the way that you behave, the way that you talk, all of these things, carrying yourself is a very, very important part of society, but goes back to our religion and our deen and carrying yourself. Being conscientious, being aware of who you are and where you are and what you are doing at that very moment in time. Haya also encompasses having shame, having modesty, being bashful. All of these things and these feelings relate to a person behaving in a particular manner and keeping away from all forms of indecency, of profanity and things which are vulgar and not respectable for any other particular person, let alone any religion. So even, I'll give you a beautiful example on the night of Mi'raj, which is a beautiful night, a sacred night when the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ascended into the heavens, met all of the prophets, the Ulul Azam prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, went through all of the heavens, through the angels, and finally when he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal gifted him 50 salahs, didn't he? 50 salahs. And then he returned back and met Musa al-Islam along the way. And Musa al-Islam knew us. He knew his own man. He knew what we would be like. So he said to the Prophet al-Islam, go back and ask for a takhfif, ask for a reduction, ask for a discount in the salah. And it came down to 45, to 40, again to 35, then to 30, then to 25, and 20, and 15, and 10, and then came down to 5. And this is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, or the Prophet ﷺ said, that I have asked my Lord until I have become ashamed. Subhanallah. So instead of asking him again, I will just accept and submit. Even then he had this haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know when somebody is ghani, somebody is very generous and kind, and you know they have unlimited resources, and you can ask them and they can continue giving you, but yaro, you should have some sharam and haya, say, this is enough. So even the Prophet ﷺ, who always wanted ease for us, even he had haya at that very moment in time and said, no, this is enough. I've asked my Lord enough for this discount and this takhfif. So even Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, you know, she's the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the most beloved wives of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And when the Prophet ﷺ passed on to the next world, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would go and visit her husband, but without the hijab, because it is all within her home. And then when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha was buried next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her own father, she would go without the hijab because it was not necessary. But as soon as Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an was buried next to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, next to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, she always went with the hijab. She always went with covering her hair and her entire body. Why? Out of haya. Even though you might say, oh, it's just a grave, but no, even look at, this is the haya, this is the amount of respect and modesty that the Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha demonstrated to those people that were resting in their particular graves. So how is it that we do not show the same amount of modesty and haya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who al hayy, who is the ever-living, who is the everlasting, who is the ever-hearing, who is the ever-seeing, who is the ever-present, and He can see you for who you are. When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to have the correct amount of decorum and respect and dignity and shame and haya when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you some further examples. And hopefully all of these things will solidify our understanding of what haya is. And it's not just something about being, you know, shy about certain things. You know, when people ask you intimate questions, that's not the only time when you be shy and giddy. No, haya is part and parcel of who we are. So the haya of guilt, and this is the haya of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa as well. What happened as soon as they were uncovered, they had this sense of haya and they quickly went to try to find some plants, some leaves, something to cover their modesty. This is the haya that they had, the innate haya within them. And this is why even children don't like to be undressed, well, apart from summertime when they run around in the sun. But the point is, they have this fitrati haya of covering themselves. And this is the haya that is embedded within us. And we were shown to us by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa. The haya of inaptitude. And this is the haya of the angels, that the angels have nothing else to do. All they do is praise and glorify and do ruku and sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in spite of that, they feel like they are lacking in their worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They still have this haya that we haven't done enough to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas insan, we read barely five a day, maybe two or three, and say, I've achieved something great today. I read five namazan. Whereas those angels are there in submission from the beginning of creation till the end of time, and they still have this haya that we haven't worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His complete and due right. This is their haya, the haya of awe, when you have the knowledge and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are nothing. Insan thinks he's great, he creates these huge buildings, he creates technology, he does all of these things, and then he thinks he is everything, he is the be it, and he's the all it. But no, when you are standing before the knowledge, the majesty, the benevolence, the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should have this haya, you should understand your place and your position. You are nothing in comparison to this building, to the tree, to the oceans, to the mountains, to this world, to this galaxy, to the universes, to the cosmos. You are absolutely nothing and infinitesimal, nothing. Absolutely nothing and insignificant. So when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should stand with a certain amount of haya in the knowledge and the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The haya of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even when he was being generous, when he married off his daughter Sayyidah Zainab, Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then what was his haya? That the guests had come. You know when you invite people for valima, this is the sunnah. So the guests had come and they had eaten their food. But after eating their food, as we do, you sit down and you start chit-chatting and talking. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he wanted to rest. He wanted to move on. But it was his haya that prevented him from saying to people, "Utho, chalo, niklo, jao." In this day and age, our elders do say it, "Chalo, niklo, Tafa. Well, they say that very, very openly. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's haya was so sensitive to such a degree that even though these are his guests and they have eaten and they are there and they finished, he didn't want to say to them, "Get up and go now." But rather, he just stood up and he left the house. Subhanallah, this is the haya of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, even in his generosity. The haya of chastity as well. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who was married to Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, he had this haya of asking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about the fluid that a man obviously excretes just before intimacy. And he had this haya. Why? Because he didn't want to ask this, because he was married to the daughter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he still asked it inevitably, ultimately. Why? Because it was a teaching point for the rest of the ummah as well. The haya of the humility is like the haya of the abd, the slave before his lord, before his master. So when you approach your salah, you really have to change your mindset. You really have to shift the paradigm of who you are and where you are going, and who you are standing before, and really make sure that you come with the complete adab, ihtiram, and complete haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of awe, of knowledge, of all of the things that we've discussed so far, and realize your place. And if you show haya to other people in the dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving, far more deserving of your haya when you stand before Allah azza wa jal, and stand in the correct way, bow down in the correct way, do sajda in the correct way, recite in the correct manner, make sure that your appearance is befitting when you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the haya of love, the haya of servitude, of love, of fear, and knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the haya of dignity, of understanding that you are a soul, you are the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing before Allah azza wa jal with all of his power and might and majesty, and how you need to really conduct yourself. I'll give you a beautiful example of even the haya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because haya comes from al-haya, which is life. This is a very important thing to understand, but inshallah we'll go through that another time. So haya is even a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How so? In a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that Allah azza wa jal is indeed hay. Hay means the ever living. It comes from haya, from life itself. From life itself. So Allah is indeed hay, and he is generous. When a person raises their hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal is too shy to send them back empty and disappointed. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever living, has this. And he wants us to have this. So how can we approach salah like it doesn't mean anything? It's just arbitrary and we're just going through the motions. Mean everything you say. Be sincere in how you say those things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you stand, how you conduct, how you say the tasbihat, how you say the takbir, how you come to the masjid, what you wear. All of these things are so important, because when you understand these things, then you'll begin to taste the sweetness of prayer. Just like we've done all of the other things of the presence of the heart, of the intentions, of the wudu, and of raja and hope, and all of these things. Haya is an integral part of making sure our outward body and our appearance is in the correct manner when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haya is even the hallmark of all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam was a man of intense haya, as mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He was always keen and very vigilant on covering himself to such a degree that his own people, his own followers, said that the reason why Musa alayhi salam covers himself all the time and never allows anybody to see his skin is because he has some deformity, especially around his private area. This is why he's always covering himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to exonerate Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But reality was, this was out of his own haya. Musa alayhi salam's own haya was that he always wanted to cover himself and be shy before other people and not show his visible body. In this day and age, we're very happy to undress ourselves and show ourselves and bulging biceps and bulging triceps and say, "Here I am," and everything's about to burst out. This is not the way of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam was a man of intense haya. And he was always keen to cover himself. And it was the shyness that would not allow him to uncover himself or be visible to other people. But one day Musa alayhi salam went to bathe. So naturally he took off his clothes. And the clothes were placed on a stone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that stone to get up and run. Nas. I'm not making this up. This is there recorded in Sahih Hadith. Okay? So the stone ran away with the clothes of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, as he was chasing the stone, trying to get his clothes back, He was, you know, he reached his people, his community, his, you know, the followers. And then they saw him in all of his glory, in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sculptured him and created him in his perfect form. He had no deformity, no deficiency whatsoever. He was perfect the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created him. And Musa alayhi salam finally caught up with the stone, and he beat the stone up 7 times, and those marks were visible there in the stones. And then he took the clothes back and then he wore them himself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this so that he could exonerate from all of these tuhmat and from these torments and from these accusations that Musa alayhi salam was covering himself because of this deformity, but rather it was out of his haya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and haya of other people. Even on Qiyamah, all of the prophets will have haya, because haya also encompasses awe and also encompasses fear as well. So when all of these people, all of these nations from Adam alayhi salam all the way to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, what will they do? They will go to each and every prophet, go and do shafaat for us. Allah is very angry, go and do shafaat for us, go and do shafaat for us. And every single prophet, out of their own humility, out of their own haya and modesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will say, no, I can't, you know, do shafaat for you. I can't intercede for you today. And then they all finally end up with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And that doesn't mean that the Prophet alayhi sallam doesn't have any haya, or it is less haya than the other prophets. No, but that he doesn't allow his haya to overcome him and overpower him, because he knows that he needs to do something which is far greater, which is do the shafa'ah of his ummah, shafa'ah for all of us. Sometimes in our life, we will have certain amount of haya, which is very good, but that haya shouldn't stop you from speaking the truth, from saying the right thing, from doing the right thing. And this is what we need to understand here. Yes, all of the prophets have haya, especially before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet has the most, but he needs to overcome that. And he does, why? For our sake, for the sake of the ummah. And then he goes, Ana laha, I will intercede. And then he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what way does he go? Subhanallah, as soon as he goes under the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he falls down into sajda and he submits himself to his Lord and continues the tasbih and glorifies and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Irfa ra'saka ya Muhammad. Oh, raise your head, my beloved, my Habib. So, this, you know, salah and all of its positions are very, very important, and how we can really conduct ourselves, engage ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, back to that verse, كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفُزُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ وَقُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. That tell the believing men to lower their gaze. And this is just one part of haya. Haya doesn't just mean covering yourself, but covering your eyes, covering your ears and your nose, and making sure that you conduct yourself. So, but one of the important things is lowering their gaze and be modest, have haya. But as we've discussed so far, haya is very, very encompassing for the men. Haya is not just reserved for the women, that we say, oh, haya karo, dupatta pao, kapde pao. No, it's inclusive for men as much as for men as it is for women. And tell the believing women to lower their gaze, and also for them to be modest and to protect their private parts, just like the men as well. And for the men and the women to display of their adornments only that which is apparent. So the way that you have been naturally created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way that you should present yourself to humanity, to society, and not kind of, you know, do you know how we have filters on our phones and we make ourselves look even prettier than we normally are, or we make ourselves look bigger and more hench, or all of these things. No, we should be as natural as possible, and our clothes should not accentuate all of these things, but they should rather conceal the way that we have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you stand and you come to salah, remember who you are standing for, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran that ya bani Adam, that, you know, oh, children of Adam alayhi salam, qad anzalna alaykum libasan yuwari sawatikum wa risha, that we have set down clothing for you to conceal yourself and your private parts. But ask yourselves today, where are we in terms of using clothes to conceal ourselves? Rather, we do it to flaunt ourselves. We do it to accentuate ourselves. We do it to stand out in front of other people, to be different from other people. And we don't even do it to, you know, hide our private parts. We do it to show off our private parts and our beauty. So clothing, which is part of haya, is a very, very important thing to understand. How we present ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very important part out of haya. So when you come to your salah, you need to be in a fully respectable clothed manner. Okay? And this is a very important thing to understand. In a respectable, in a modest, in hayaful, bashful manner when you come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not coming before another individual or somebody else important. You're coming before your Lord, your Creator who knows you inward and outward. But you still need to show that haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your clothes needs to be loose. This is a very important thing for men, especially for women, to understand. Our clothing has to be loose. It can't be tight fitting. Yes, there is a fit which obviously fits your body. You're not going to get a size, 36 when you're a size, 20. Obviously, you're not going to do that. You have to find something which fits your actual body itself. But one is buying those clothes that are actually really tight fit. And this is especially important for the women. In this day and age, we see our daughters and our sisters wearing these, the skinny jeans and those, really tight leggings, that's it, leggings. And there's nothing left to the imagination. Everything is there, everything is sculpted, then you can see everything. Even if you don't want to see it, you unfortunately do see it. And this is for the men as well as for the women as well. You need to be fully clothed, respectfully clothed, and loosely clothed. And your clothes cannot be transparent. They cannot be revealing. Unfortunately, you go to Pakistan, sleeves used to be there for women, then they came there, now they're there, and now they're over here. This is the state of Pakistan. Let's not just talk about the UK. Before they used to wear clothes, and now you wear them, they wear clothes, and everything through their sweat and through their tightness and through their kapra is transparent and revealing. And this is not befitting, this is not part of haya for a Muslim male or for a Muslim female to wear tight clothing or to wear transparent clothing. This is forbidden by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And men and women, they need to wear their gender-specific clothing. The clothes that have been designed for men should be worn by men. The clothes that are designed for women should be worn by women because they are distinct in their design, in their cut, in their style, in their nature. And we should not be intermixing. Oh, it's fine. Nobody can tell the difference. But no, this is where you give somebody an inch and they take you for a mile. And this is why we have so many problems in society now with gender fluidity, with all of these arbitrary titles and stuff. I'm this, I'm this, and I'm that. So, respectable, fully clothed, loose clothing, not transparent clothing, gender-specific clothing as well. And your clothing cannot be provocative in its nature. Okay? They have to be respect. Provocative basically means, you know how certain they have slits and cuts in such a way to, obviously you know exactly what I'm talking about, or certain colours, which evoke certain feelings as well. So we're not there to wear clothes to stand out, or to make our mark, or to be idols, or to be celebrities. When you're coming before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come as servants and slaves who own nothing, who are nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dress in the best of manners, but in the most respectable of manners, in a loose manner, in a fully clothed manner, not in a transparent manner, in a gender-specific manner, not in a provocative manner, in a respectable manner. For the women, the clothing must be for the entire body, only their hands and their feet and their face can be uncovered during their salah. And for men as well, it's very similar as well. The proper traditional method and the sunnah method of approaching salah in day to day is that you are fully clothed and you are fully covered, and only your hands and your face and your feet are uncovered in your salah, and your head should be covered as well. This is the sunnah of wearing the imama, of wearing the topi, during salah as well, and generally day to day situations as well. This is how men should approach the salah. This is how women should approach the salah as well. I'm not just talking about the bare minimum, which obviously for the men is from the navel to the knees. You wouldn't do that standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you really need to think, what type of haya are you showing when you come to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So clothing that reveals the private parts or accentuates the private parts is forbidden. And the entire body, as I mentioned, except for the face and the hands and the feet, can be uncovered. But everything else, the entire body must be covered except for the hands, the face and the feet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this regard, he gives us a very stark warning that towards the end of times, as time gets closer and closer to Qiyamah, women who are clothed, yet they will be naked. There will come a time where women will be fully clothed. And this is the time that we are living in. Whether you're in Pakistan or Asia or the UK, anywhere you go, women who will be fully clothed, yet they will be naked at the same time. And these will be the inhabitants of the fire of hell. due to their clothing. So as parents, as leaders, as people in authority, we really need to ask ourselves, how do we conduct ourselves? What do we wear? How do we behave? What type of haya do we show our daughters, our mothers, our sisters, or the people in society? And then what do we allow? Oh, bachi, and we're doing the salawat kameez pehna. So no, it has to start from a young age. You have to instill this haya within from a young age. Because from a young age, if haya is removed, then there will only be bare haya for the rest of their life. So you have to maintain this haya, just the way you maintain iman in a child, you have to maintain haya in a child as well, in the way that they carry themselves and what they wear. You can't allow them, just say, oh, they are covered, aren't they? But it's transparent, or it's super tight, it's not appropriate, it's provocative, it's alluring, it's not appropriate for you to be seeing the shape, every single contour and the shape of a woman, from her backside and the front side and the top, or even for men as well. The society that we're living in, bandevi ajkal mehfooz nahi hai. So you have to be careful. So the women who will be fully clothed, yet they'll be naked, these will be the people of the fire of hell. So these are some of the things that we really need to consider when you're approaching your salah. Clothing also that imitates the opposite sex, you need to avoid those as well. And the curse of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are those people who deliberately wear the opposite sex kapri, or those people who deliberately wear transparent or tight revealing clothing. There's a curse, not just a prohibition or avoid this, actual curse of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, because it's against all forms of haya, all forms of modesty. So why is it that when you come to the masjid, you will be loosely clothed, but as soon as you leave the masjid, then all of that sharam hayan goes? You can't have that. You need to be the most honest and sincere person when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You shouldn't be wearing clothes of pride and conceit, especially for the men. They make sure that your salwar should be above your ankles. This is the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Wear presentable clothing, and especially clothing that shouldn't have, you know, really derogatory or profane words on there as well. You know, certain labels that are there that which exist, you know, FC UK and other labels, and labels with idols and statues and stuff like that, we really need to be careful about who we are standing before. You might just say, oh, it actually doesn't mean that word, it means something else. But who are you trying to delude yourself? Wear respectable clothing, wear honest, wear humble and simple clothing. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, this is how he lived his life of simplicity and humility. And he always had this haya when he was standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never dragged any of his garments. And we need to be very, very careful for our women, especially during the weddings, the seasons, and all these other things, when they have these long trails. This is not part of the sunnah, and this is forbidden by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Hadith mentions that on the day of resurrection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at those who drag their garments on the ground out of pride. Out of show, out of fashion. It's in a similar vein, isn't it? Because you're doing out of pride, because you can afford to drag your clothes. You can afford to buy new clothes. You can afford to show off and stand out, because this is what you want to do. Similarly, wearing flamboyant and flashy clothes as well, which are, you know, try to stand out and be an idol, also we need to really, really avoid. So haya is very, very important. So when we come to our salah, really, really think twice about what you are wearing, how you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the men especially, you know, we need to be really, really careful that when you go into sajda, when you go into ruku, into your sajda, you know, unfortunately, if you're not covering your back, the top part of your bum, and the crack will show, the builder's bum, as they say, will show. And that will void your salah. That will ruin your salah and the barakah of your salah, because the minimum you have to be from your navel up to your knees. That is the bare minimum. When you're in sajda, you're showing a lot more than bare minimum, because that's further down there. So you end up spoiling your salah. And then you end up actually not getting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is going to say, he didn't even care to take the time or the effort to present himself properly to me. And here he is showing his ass off, literally, to other people behind him and the angels. Is this the haya that we should have before Rabbul Alameen, who the creator of everything? Would you ever wear something like this or behave like this in an interview with your boss or with your superiors or with those people that you respect? No, we don't. So we need to be very, very careful on how we behave, how we conduct ourselves, and always have this haya when we approach our salah. So wudu, as we discussed yesterday, the day before, is very important. But part of wudu is grooming yourself. Make sure you comb your beard. Make sure you oil your beard. Make sure you cut your nails on a regular basis. Make sure you oil You use your miswak, you use body spray, you use deodorant, you use perfume, you use itr, and you do those things, and you iron your clothes to the best of your abilities, you wear fresh socks, and you wear surma, and you are decent, respectable, presentable, full of haya inwardly as well as outwardly when you come to your salah. And then you will see a difference in your salah. And then inshallah the haya will also filter onto your tongue when you're praying and reciting Fatiha and a surah and all of the other things, inshallah, wal aziz. So haya is an integral part of our iman, and we can't just discard and put it to the side and say haya is in these departments only. Haya is part and parcel of our entire living, and the way that you approach your salah, if it is without haya, it will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So reflect on your clothing, your attire, your wardrobe, and make sure it is loose, it is fully covering, it is not transparent, it is not tight, it is respectable, decent clothing, and it enables you to really stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the correct amount of respect and dignity and shyness and awe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa quli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum jazakumullah khayran. Inshallah, we'll continue with our journey tomorrow onwards. Jazakumullah khayran.